Three public radio stations, two great American musical traditions, one unforgettable night in New York. WSHU, WQXR, and WBGO are co-hosting a classical and jazz celebration of America at 250 live at City Winery, with performances by clarinetist Anthony McGill, pianist Laura Downs, and vocalist Leslie Harrison with the rich sounds of American music. June 1st at 7 p.m. Tickets and more information at WSHU.org.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul's approval rating is down, but her lead over her Republican opponent has increased. That's according to the latest Siena University poll out today. Hochul has a 16-point lead, 3 points higher than last month, but Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman says the governor's actions suggest the race is tighter.
Attacking a Republican in April with $1 million in attack ads only indicates that she's scared to death of me because I'm gaining ground.
Meanwhile, 41% of voters in the poll say they have a favorable view of the Democratic governor. That's down from 45% last month. This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. A new Connecticut law bans ICE agents from wearing masks in the state. A new report finds cell phone bans in schools are not leading to better test scores. Plus, we have the latest from WSHU's Digital Citizen. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Governor Ned Lamont has signed a new Connecticut law that bans masked ICE agents from operating in the state. The ceremony was in Hartford today, and WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
The law bans all local, state, and federal law enforcement from wearing masks. Lamont signed it on the steps of the state Supreme Court. Melanie Unger is a senior at New Haven's Wilbur Cross High School and a member of Connecticut Students for a Dream. She was one of many immigrant rights activists at the ceremony.
For families like mine, this means being able to go to school, work, or even a doctor's appointment without fear. It means we live our daily lives with a little more dignity, a little more safety, and a little more peace.
Lamont says the aim is to protect state residents from the type of ICE harassment that happened in Minneapolis.
There are a lot of folks that belong in this state, and that's what this law is all about. We love you. We care about you. You belong in this state. And I want you to feel like you're at home here.
The law restrains ICE activity in sensitive places like schools, churches, and hospitals by requiring agents to have judicial warrants. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Cell phone bans in schools are not leading to the increase in test scores that advocates predicted. That's according to a new report by the National Bureau of Economic Research. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
Not only test scores, but behavior, attendance, and online bullying also saw very little change in schools with bans. Student suspensions spiked during a school's first year with a ban, but eventually evened out, according to the report. The study is based on 8 years of data from the company Yonder, which makes the lockable pouches that many schools in New York require to comply with the new state law banning phones. A bill to ban phones in Connecticut schools is working its way through the legislature now. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Connecticut parents who homeschool will have to follow a strict set of rules going forward, WSHU's Shelley Hussman-Kadish reports on new legislation approved by state lawmakers.
The bill mandates new requirements for families that want to homeschool their children. It also prevents children from being taken out of school if they live with any adult under investigation for child abuse or neglect. Legislators have been pushing for more stringent regulations after several cases of child abuse among homeschooled children came to light, including the death of an 11-year-old girl in New Britain. In each case, the victims were taken out of school. According to Hearst Connecticut Media, some homeschooling families say they are being unfairly cast as villains. Supporters say the new rules may help prevent future tragedies. The bill now goes to the governor's desk. Shelley Hussman-Kadish, WSHU News.
Coming up, a deep dive on how social media impacts mental health and why it's complicated. That's the latest from WSHU's Digital Citizen. Thank you.
Listen to WSHU for uninterrupted news and music, and now even our pledge drive honors that. WSHU is trying something new, fast fundraising messages, no program interruptions. This idea only works when you donate. Show your support for a pledge drive that keeps all the music and news playing. Please give now at WSHU.org or call 800-777-9748, and thank you.
The National Weather Service is reminding New Yorkers that the state is under a burn ban until May 14th. That means no outdoor fires, and residents should be extra careful when disposing cigarette butts or using machinery or matches. Firefighters in Smithtown put down a brush fire on Sunday at Moorwood Park. The town of Southampton will get $850,000 to cover the cost of hosting the U.S. Open Golf Championship this June. That amount is for police and other public safety expenses for the four-day tournament at Shinnecock Hills Golf Club. The town approved the agreement with the U.S. Golf Association this week. New Haven Police Chief David Zanelli was officially sworn in as the permanent chief this afternoon. Zanelli was named acting chief after the resignation of former police chief Carl Jacobson. Jacobson has been charged with embezzling $85,000 in city funds. The MTA is warning LIRR customers to prepare for disruptions starting May 16th. That's when about 3,500 workers are expected to strike unless an agreement is reached on wage increases. The MTA says work from home if you can, but limited shuttle bus service will be available for essential workers.
I'm Janice Roman. Welcome to Digital Citizen, a place where we discuss the pillars of digital citizenship and help you feel empowered to engage with the online world. Today, we'll hear from Dr. Shirley Wang. She's a psychology professor and researcher at Yale University. We'll talk about how social media can impact behavior and learn ways to safeguard our mental health online. What are some ways that social media can affect mental health?
Yeah, it's a great question, especially because these days we know that social media is really ubiquitous, especially in young people. There's been some research showing that a lot of youth say that they're online almost constantly. And that has rapidly become a public health concern, given documented associations between social media use and many mental health outcomes like depression, anxiety, eating disorders, even suicidal thoughts and behaviors. So, of course, there can be a negative impact of social media on mental health. But I also want to emphasize that's not the full story. So work has also demonstrated that social media can have a lot of positive effects for youth, from like building and connecting with friends, pursuing creative hobbies, finding supportive communities, especially for youth with marginalized identities. So I think the effects are not necessarily the same across different people or even within the same person over time. So social media isn't really a monolith in terms of mental health. It can have both helpful and harmful effects depending on who is using it and how they're using it.
When someone uses social media, are there changes that happen behaviorally, and how so?
I think when people use social media or they're online, one change that might happen for some people is that they can start to withdraw from connections in sort of in-person relationships, right, in the real world, so to speak. So that's one reason that some people are concerned about social media use, is that there's this fear that folks might be spending too much time online and at the expense of building in-person relationships. Again, it's not the case that this happens for everyone, or that it would even be consistent within the same person over time, but I think social isolation is probably one factor that's relevant, and another is sleep. So I think, we all know sleep is so important for mental and physical health and well-being. And so sometimes social media use can become a little compulsive or a little obsessive for people, insofar as it even gets in the way of them getting enough sleep. So that can be a concern as well.
Can you explain how doom scrolling works and how can we stop it?
Yeah, oh, such a good question. the term doom scrolling, yeah, I do think doom scrolling is a thing. I would hesitate to use the term addiction and apply it to social media. I know that is a really common way that people talk about it. And there certainly are qualities that can feel obsessive or compulsive for people. But I would be hesitant to use the term addiction for a variety of reasons, including how it's typically discussed in psychology and in our diagnostic system. But yeah, in terms of doom scrolling, the first thing I would say is oftentimes people can feel a lot of like guilt and shame over this behavior, right? They say like, oh, I should just be able to stop, or I can't get myself to stop. And what I'd say is it's not about willpower. It's sort of like a predictable response to the way that these algorithms are designed to keep people engaged. And they really want to keep hitting on your reward response to getting content, right? And just keep you endlessly scrolling. I would say there are some strategies that people could take in order to reduce how much they're doom scrolling, like trying to be more intentional with when they go online, setting time limits for themselves, turning off like auto scroll features and things like that. But yeah, I think doom scrolling is less about like individual willpower and probably more about the way that these algorithms are designed.
Oftentimes we're just inundated with so much that is going on with the world. How can we stay informed but not become overwhelmed with all of the news, especially the negative news and the information that we see online?
I think there are a few strategies people can use. One is being really intentional with the accounts that you follow in order to stay up to date with news, maybe following specific news outlets or certain reporters, right? But limiting the extent to which they are scrolling on a For You page, where they might get a little bit more bombarded with information that's outside of their control. So taking a little bit more agency and autonomy back into selecting specifically who you want to be receiving news from and who you're following.
What's one thing that listeners can do to build a healthier relationship with technology and safeguard their mental health?
Research indicates that there are many different ways that people use technology and social media, and some tend to be more positive and some tend to be more negative. So a clear distinction is between sort of active versus passive use of social media, right? So passive use meaning like what you mentioned earlier with the doom scrolling and just sort of being a more passive observer of what other people are putting out into the world. That tends to be associated with more negative outcomes versus more active use, which could involve using social media to chat with friends or creating your own content or using it to explore different hobbies, that tends to be associated with more positive outcomes. So I think one thing that people could just bring awareness to is when they find themselves sort of stuck in a more passive use pattern where they are doom scrolling, using social media in a way that's almost mindless, right? To just bring their attention to it, sort of notice what they're doing, and then make an intentional choice to try something a little bit different, whether that be DMing someone to start a conversation or turning off their phone and going to pursue another hobby. So I think just bringing awareness to when people are getting a little bit more stuck in the passive doom scrolling and then trying to take back some of the autonomy and intentional decision making.
To hear the full interview, go to WSHU.org or download the WSHU app. Thanks for listening. I'm Janice Roman.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or download the free WSHU app. And for even more from this station, like more on the music you hear, the latest news, and some behind-the-scenes fun, follow us on Instagram at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day. Enjoy that sunshine, and I'll speak with you tomorrow.